Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. And I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you are here with us. I pray that you would open up your word to us tonight. I pray, Father God, that the things that you've given me to share tonight, that you'll be able to unlock all of it, Lord God, and prepare our hearts to receive it. I pray, Father God, that you would settle things around us so that we can receive the word of the Lord and we can hold on to your word and be anchored in your word. You are our strength, our strong tower, our foundation, and everything in between. Let us grab hold of the promises that you've given, Lord God, and carry this nation across the finish line. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. In your precious and most holy name, amen. Exodus chapter 33. Now, for me, this chapter of the Bible is... It brings a lot of emotions out in me, and it always has, because it's right at the end of the release, where they have been saved from slavery, oppression, and the near annihilation of their race. God has taken them through the Red Sea, and he's taken them to Mount Sinai, where he's going to bring forth the law and the building of the tabernacle. But at the base of the mount, while Moses is up receiving the government of God for the nation of Israel, the people, having grown anxious, having grown weary, they have no government around them in respect to the oppression they had under Egypt. Moses is up in the cloud, and they don't know what will come of him and where they will go next. And instead of pursuing God, they have taken on that which they left behind and fashioned themselves a golden calf. So that's where we are when we come up to Exodus chapter 33. Verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp, Verse 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, when the Lord delivered the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when he miraculously delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, his spirit led them to the Red Sea. His spirit came. The angel of the Lord came. And as they went into the Red Sea, the angel of the Lord came in, unscrewed the wheels of the chariots, and it drove them into the ground. At the bottom of the Red Sea, there was nowhere for them to go. And when the last of the Israelites crossed, the congealed waters of the Red Sea came crashing down. And the people were free. And as they traveled and they went over to Mount Sinai, and the journey that they walked on after having seen something so miraculous, the Red Sea. The Red Sea was very lengthy. It was at least 100 feet deep. And the Lord came and drew back the waters and paved the way for them to go to safety. This was something that when the nations that they would go to possess heard about, it struck fear, terror in the hearts of those nations. Because the God of the Israelites would protect them. And as the Israelites traveled into that nation to take the land, the people were in dread of what could happen to them under the hands of the Israelites. The fear of God swept the world over. Now, the Lord told me last year after the election that we would have a Red Sea moment. And he told me one of the reasons we would have this is because he was going to bring the fear of God back to our nation. It was going to be a miraculous thing. We would see the hand of God move on our nation, on our behalf. But it would be such a profound thing that it would put the fear of God back in the heart of the people of this nation. This is something that we have been lacking for some time. This is something that we, the world over, has been lacking. This week, as I was praying about what to share, the Lord told me to pick back up from where we left off last week and to carry on and to share a vision that I'd had last year. It was in July. And so I'm going to share a little bit about that vision because I think it's important for what we see right now. And the Lord gave me some more revelation on it that I'm going to share with you tonight. But I want you to keep in mind the end result of the nation of Israel. The Lord was setting up the government of God. He wanted to be in their midst. He wanted to be the center of their nation, but because of their sin, because of their idolatry, because they fell back right back into that which they just came out of. He could not be in their midst. Why? Because they were a stiff-necked people. So the tent was set up about half a mile outside the camp, and the people would have to go to the tabernacle to worship. It's such a grievous thing to me. It's hard for me not to weep when I read that passage. I want to share from you from The Light and the Glory. It's page 251. It's a book by David Manuel and Peter Marshall. The Lord, through the preaching of this covenanted man, was uniting the 13 colonies on a level so deep that few people even realized at first what was happening. But wherever Whitfield went, he was preaching the same gospel. The same Holy Spirit was quickening his message in people's hearts. The Presbyterians, Congregationalists, Episcopalians, Catholics, Quakers, Moravians, all were accepting the same Christ in the same way. In so doing, as Pollock points out, Whitfield was the first man to cut across denominational barriers. He rejected the solution of early reformers who encouraged followers to drop previous loyalties and form a pure sect and thus increase the barriers that divide. They were beginning to discover a basic truth which would be a major foundation stone of God's new nation and which by 1776 would be declared self-evident. That is, in the eyes of their Creator, all men were of equal value. By the sovereign act of Almighty God and through the obedience of a few dedicated men, the body of Christ was forming in America. This nation was founded to bring, to be a place of refuge and to escape tyranny. This nation is in covenant with the Lord God Almighty. We forget that sometimes, but the truth is we are in covenant with Him. Covenant is a very important aspect of who God is. It's a very important aspect of relationship. The whole Word of God is the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. It is all covenant from beginning to end. God is a covenant-keeping God. And if we will do our part, He will do His part. He promised to deliver the people. He could have sent them right back into Egypt when they turned away from Him. But He didn't. How many times did Moses have to intervene, have to intercede? Because God was going to wipe out the Israelites. And He said, stand aside. I'm going to wipe them all out and I'll make a new nation out of you. A whole new nation right out of you, Moses. Stand aside. And Moses pled. He interceded on behalf of the nation of Israel. Moses had a relationship unlike few that have walked this earth with our Lord. The Lord spoke to the people from the cloud, but He spoke to Moses as a friend, as a man speaketh to his friend. So when he cried on behalf of the people, and Moses reminded God of the covenant, God responded. The nation of Israel was birthed to be the nation through which the Savior would be born. God pulled them out of the oppression and the slavery and the bondage, the horrific bondage that was taking place the horrific murder of their children that was taking place on an ongoing basis. Moses himself was rescued out of those atrocities that were taking place. The midwives, if you remember, were required, were told that they were to kill the children when they were born if they were a male. And they said that the women give birth too quick. They can't get there. They can't take care of that. So what did he do? He said, throw them all into the Nile. And he gave the order that the Egyptians could take the Hebrew males and throw them into the Nile. I remember when my mom, it's been years now, and I honestly don't remember if this was a dream or if it was a vision, and she saw that there would be a day that they would be throwing the children off of the Golden State Bridge. Children up to 2 years old were being thrown off of the bridge, cast away. But you see, and you think that can't be possible. Well, it happened. It was happening to the nation of Israel. And today, in this nation right now, we see abortion on demand that is so unbelievable. It's a wonder. Fire and brimstone has not been rained down from heaven. But God is a covenant-keeping God. And he promised, he covenanted that this nation would be a nation under which all men would be created equal. All men could call upon the name of God. All men could decree and declare that in God we trust. One nation under God. This is in his heart when he thinks of America. That should be the same thing we have in our own hearts. Last year, the Lord gave me this vision, and if you remember, for those that were on, it was in July of last year. The Lord woke me up very, very early in the morning, and I grabbed my Bible, I grabbed my notebook, and I came into my quiet time with the Lord. It was very, very early. It was 3:45. And I knew it was a very sober moment. And he was going to instruct me in some things. Very serious fork that we found ourselves in. And it was between Biden and Trump. And he placed this frosted glass, and I'm only going to cover a little bit of it for the sake of time, but you can actually find this word on our website. He placed a frosted glass in front of me. I sought him for an explanation of why a frosted glass. He said, the future is not yet clear. It depends upon my people and the 2020 election. He showed me a Biden victory, and he would write this on the glass. So a Biden victory in the election would look like, if Biden won, it would be in name only. Obama would be the string, the driving force behind him. The LGBTQ agenda would be expanded. What's going on now would be nothing compared to what would take place. MAPS would be legalized. This is minor attracted persons. To be clear, there are people actually petitioning this. It's in the UK. It's here in the States where people are petitioning to be brought under the LGBTQ+ agenda. Minor attracted persons, where an adult is attracted and can engage in a relationship with a child as young as 4 years old. And they are trying to pass legislation little by little to make this happen. The adult would no longer be considered a pedophile, providing the child was consenting. They have petitioned the LGBTQ community for inclusion. They were rejected in 2019 and again in 2020. They already have their own flag. It's pastel in color. So if you see the rainbow flag, but it's pastel, that's MAPS. So the Lord wiped that away, and he posted a Trump victory picture. And the word excellence in gold was posted. It meant excellence in all you do, in your family, in your education, in your work plan, with your parents, with your children. It was void of all complacency and apathy. There was not arrogance or pride associated with it, but it was striving from within to strengthen a community that is very family-oriented. The family unit was connected with the father having an integral role. This was excellence out of love, self-respect, and from a place of strength. Then that was removed, and a Biden victory was posted on this frosted glass. A Biden victory would mean abortion on demand across the nation at any point in pregnancy. The 24-hour waiting period would be abolished. Fathers would not need to be consulted. Anyone of any age could have an abortion with no need to consult parents. Clinics were everywhere. There was no requirement for a hospital at any stage. The clinics were as common as the corner grocery store. How can this be, I asked. He showed me that there would be funding increased to promote abortion. It would be posed or presented as a humanitarian effort and for the betterment of mankind. I thought of the countries that imposed 1- and 2-child restrictions, and I learned, when I actually received this vision, I learned that they were withholding funding for food supplies to struggling countries unless funding for abortion was put in place along with the package. That's a prime example of humanitarian effort. And if you look on our shores, you can see that the supplies to our nation are being held up, because they're trying to crash our economy. So then this was wiped away. The abortion industry under Trump, the abortion industry was thoroughly exposed. From doctors to politicians, this multi-billion dollar industry was exposed. Life at conception became a thing. And it became brought into our Constitution, life at conception, and that the citizens of this country would be protected at conception. The politicians, the lobbyists for Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers who target them were exposed and brought down. The eugenic sides of this operation was exposed. The profit side of abortion was exposed. The Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics were left in a shambles, as though people left in a hurry. The stirrups were broken. The stainless steel equipment began to rust. And the exposure was so great that women were compelled to fight for their babies. That was wiped away, and a Biden victory was displayed. Human and sex trafficking were legalized. You may wonder how that could be. In many countries, prostitution has been legalized with police focusing on other things. Think about this for a minute. There are states all over the nation where marijuana has been legalized because it was taking up so much time by police to investigate, to arrest, to process people that were found with marijuana, that they decided to legalize it. When that happens, eventually the state can start collecting taxes on marijuana that is sold in that state. That's what I'm talking about. Under Biden, human trafficking would be legalized, no one would interfere with pedophilia, and no one would get arrested for having sex with a minor. That image was removed. Then he brought in a Trump picture regarding human trafficking. I saw big, dark vats of oil with webs stringing across our nation. Then I saw a dash of Dawn dish detergent hit the center, and they were completely dissolved. The vats of oil reminded me of the human trafficking nests that we have heard about in Atlanta, Louisiana, and other southern states. I saw those nests exposed and perpetrators convicted. Human trafficking nests include sheriffs, child protective services, doctors, teachers, all covering up this crime, and they were all exposed. You know how a dash of Dawn detergent can dissipate oil? You know, we've all seen the commercials. It'll be like that. The use of the dark web or the internet in this horrific crime will be exposed, and there will be an outcry. It will become mainstream, and the fight against it unprecedented. I was taken to a future time to see when these two breakthroughs came regarding our children. The principalities impact the nation in greater capacity than we realize, and with this cleansing, our skies became bluer. They became clearer. They were crisp. The Lord brought me back to this experience to clarify some things for us as we prepare for the breakthrough that is coming. The Lord told me that He posted the Biden presidency first and then wiped it clean on that frosted or cloudy glass. The future was cloudy because the heart of the people of this nation was not clear, specifically those who fill in that bubble titled Christian on the census. We cannot expect the world to remain stable, and that's for sure. But the children of God should be the stabilizing force in this earth. The Lord told me He would erase the impact of Biden. He would erase the impact, and that's why on this frosted glass, when we have our breakthrough, when God puts Trump back in place in His public office, God is going to come through and erase what Biden has done. The legislation that they're trying to pass, the executive orders that he has signed, what he's done in terms of abortion, what he's done in terms of our southern border, what he's done in the name of this nation will be erased. It'll be wiped clean from our slate. When he revealed that to me, the wiping clean, I felt my heart. And I felt light penetrate my heart. I felt like my heart was going to explode. Because the light penetrated my heart in such a profound way. And it began to fill up my heart with this revelation of who He is, of what He did, of the breakthrough, and how He was intricately involved and turning things around. And I asked, what is this? And he told me that there would be this day that those that are so bound in the deception, so immersed with the Democratic Party, so many of our young people, our 20s, our 30s, even up into our 40s, and, you know, I'm sorry to say that anybody that's younger than me is a young person. That something was broken off of their minds, and he began to impart into their hearts the truth about the Democratic Party, and it opened their heart up. They saw God's hand. Last year I was praying for our youth. We were on our staff line, and I was praying for them. And I began to decree and declare scriptures over their lives. And I had this vision of our young people. I had a vision of scriptures that were inside of them that they had memorized as children. You know, we all know scripture. You know, our kids, even, you know, parents that raise their children in church and such. I mean, my kids went to our church and they memorized a scripture a week, and then they got a little trophy for it. And the Lord showed me those scriptures, and he said, speak to it. And I began to call the scriptures forth. I called them forth, that they would be recalled to their memories, that they would be recalled to their hearts, to their minds, to their thoughts, and that God would begin to speak to them through those. And I saw those scriptures burst open like a starburst within them. And they were awakened in this cloud of deception, this cloud of confusion, this cloud of rebellion even, of frustration, of fear. It broke off of them. It was the most powerful moment that I've had praying for our youth, for those scriptures to come alive within them. This is what I experienced when he cleared that frosted glass of Biden's devastating effects for the last time. Light pierced the heart and mind. And I share this with you because I want to encourage you, for those that have young people in your lives, your sons, your daughters, your nieces, your nephews, your children, that you cry out for every day. Speak scripture over their life, that God will break through the deception and set them free. So as I was preparing for this and to share this, and the Lord said, I need you to do this, and I've been going through the history of Israel. And the Lord said, we've had many wafflers, people that will just go, you know, kind of back and forth and back and forth, depending upon what they see, what they hear. And I've had people that will, when we would be praying for President Trump, when we would pray for the election, people would send me information. They would send me YouTube videos to try to prove, quote unquote, that he was a deep state plant. And they had very believable people on the other side of the camera that was trying to fabricate this evidence. They would put pieces of 30 years of his life and say, see, this proves he's this or he's that. He's trying to bring in the mark of the beast. These are the things that was out there and being posted about him. And the Lord told me they're going to divide the base with this stuff. And we needed to stand on what he is telling us, what he is promising us, what he has spoken over this nation and the person that he appointed to lead this nation through and out of this darkness that the enemy is trying to take us into. And that's exactly what we saw happen. People became divided. It broke my heart, but the Lord is not pleased with that. The Lord is not pleased. So as we see God begin to move on behalf of our nation, and we see God miraculously, divinely restore our president, President Donald J. Trump, and remove that fraudulent individual from his post in D.C., it's going to be so important we consider the history of Israel. Why is that? For everything I just read, the tabernacle was constructed, and it was placed without the camp. And when the cloud, and that's representative of the glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God, revelation came from the cloud, protection came from the cloud, provision came from the cloud. whenever the cloud was over the nation of Israel, God rained down upon them his blessings, whether it was manna, whether it was protection from the sun, whether it was the quail he brought in, whether it was the word of the Lord, the law, the instructions for the tabernacle. It was all for the benefit and the strength and for the stabilization of the nation of Israel. You see, we have been praying for his glory to come. That's the cloud. And when his glory comes, he is going to pour out his blessings upon his nation. And my cry right now is that we will have prepared ourselves so that when God rights this wrong that's been done, this is a crime against our nation, against the citizens who voted for President Trump, and against President Trump himself. When God restores our nation, we must be ready. We must have him front and center. We must be ready to have him in the middle of our camp where his glory can pour down over our nation, where he is not in a position of having to be outside the camp instead of inside the camp. We must be ready. Because God, please don't let our history be written with God saying, I'll send an angel before you, but I will not be in your midst. I had an experience, and I'll probably close with this. Where I saw the nation of Israel. I was up in a cleft of the rock, and I saw the camp in the wilderness. And I saw the Lord, the presence of the Lord over the nation, and I saw as manna fell from heaven. I saw the cloud protecting the people. And in the evening, I saw the fire rise to warm and protect them. And as a person who was observing from the outside, faith was ignited in my heart. I believed in the God of the Israelites. When people witness God move on our behalf, when people witness divine intervention, protection, covering, provision, faith will be ignited in their hearts. We have no idea the ripple effect. Of what occurs when people see the hand of God move on behalf of a people group, on behalf of a nation. I mean, we see it in revival and tent meetings. When someone gets healed, the faith elevates in the entire facility. Let us prepare ourselves. Let us press in, because when this breakthrough comes, there will be profound breakthroughs, not only in our nation, but in the spirit realm. as the presence of God increases in our nation. Let's be ready. Let's be equipped. Let's hunger and thirst to go into the storm and find God. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your promises. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. I thank you. I thank you for who you are. And I thank you that you are readying your people in this hour for what's about to come. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen.